response, and I found some pretty significant leads that they've addressed. But because it's been such a terrible summer with the rain, they've been limited. There's been some spots that they want to get a camera down into, but it's always full of water from the rain, so they can't tell if it's leaking or if it's just water that's stored because of, you know, prior sewage. So we need a bit of a dry period before we can get into the last bit of what you consider the heavy effect that's there on the infiltration. But other than that, it's pretty much just general rains, not too much.
Mr. Brown, you on?
I'm here. How's everybody doing?
Very good. Yourself?
Not too bad. You got the normal one. All good.
Okay. What do you have to add to the sewers for us?
Nothing really. You know, the last couple months we've been talking, we're in construction in Lansing. The building's up, our tower up in Lansing is there. So that's moving through. Contractors doing the interior finishes, insulation, plywood, painting, that kind of stuff. Equipment starting to come in. The UV unit was installed last week, so that's good. We have the EQ pumps that'll go in our new tank. Those are on site. They'll be going in here the next couple of days. And then we're supposed to have the rest of the equipment here by the end of September with our screen and the rest of our pumps and blowers and whatnot. So as parts come in, we'll get them installed. And then once everything's here, the electrician will be out to wire everything up and program stuff. So we look to be good for our consent order deadline and contractual deadlines for November. So that's proceeding. Nothing too crazy there. And Oriaville will be the next year's project to put the UV system in at that facility. So that's pretty much all we have.
Any questions or comments for Bill?
I think it's pretty good that with all the supply chain problems that are going on in the country right now, that it hasn't affected the project, that we still think it's going to end on time.
We're projecting. You know, it's some stuff was supposed to be here in August, and now we're looking at September. So, you know, we're projecting everything's good right now. We continue to monitor that and ask for weekly updates from the contractors and their supply. We're seeing some stuff come in and getting it installed, so.
Recording in progress.
Particularly with the plan to use the one laptop to try to manage the Zoom meeting and also manage the PowerPoint.
The emails we just received from our friends at Creek Road. There are folks over on Creek Road that are getting hooked up finally for broadband. Looks like Annabelle's going to be getting it in September, I think she said. So that's great news. It's time to hire the marching band.
Absolutely.
That's a big deal. That's years in the making, so that's awesome that folks continue to
get it. Things are flying, though.
Yeah,
things are flying. That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's very good news.
Anybody else?
No,
I
don't.
Nope.
All right. We have another state committee reports. This is going to be a big subject. This has been a big subject. We're going to have a pretty good discussion about this, about solar. I'm going to turn it over to John and Bill here in a second. Me, John, and Bill attended last Thursday night's public hearing with the planning board regarding the solar project on Oak Hill. We learned a few things. It's a touchy situation. We're trying to do the best by the town and by the residents and all around. So what we have some proposals. We want to what give a quick overview of the new updated plans from Eden Renewables, AMP, whatever they want to call themselves, added four battery storage units, and these are like a 53-foot unit. Top of the line, they went over them a little bit at the meeting. Newest technology, promises that they don't burn up and all that good stuff. The planning board already planned on tabling the subject, and we, as a town board, we asked them to make sure when they review these plans for these units that, you know, we go right through them. Nobody on the planning board or a town board are experts in these fields. We learn a lot in the time. One part of our conversation, we take in proposals from independent consultants to help us make a decision, the town board and the planning board, on where we want to go and make sure that these units are safe for our environment, our town. I think that's, I'll let you, however you want you guys to go from there.
I would add that Prime AE, who was our consultant on the project, is doing a good job with it. And the proposal that, the follow-up proposal that came in from AMP that was reviewed at the planning board meeting was, they did a really good job with it. I mean, they went through this thing and they probably listed out 50 or more things that they felt either needed to be changed or were oversights or things like that. So they really did step up and do a good job. But the fact that there were so many issues that came up with that proposal, it kind of reinforced our feeling that the board really needs to have another consultant look at this. Just as a board, to have someone that's kind of that we bring on, rather than the planning board already has Prime, we would bring on another consultant for a second opinion. And we voiced that at the planning board meeting, so the planning board knows that we do plan on bringing on a consultant. And obviously Prime was there too, so they know that as well. Bill, I don't know if there's anything you want to add to that.
Well, the only thing I would say, because of all the changes that were proposed, I think it was in July, from the developer, and the safety concerns that many, many residents, including myself, and I think everybody on the board I speak for as well, has safety concerns. The more eyes that look at any circumstance, the less opportunity something gets overlooked. And so having the good fortune to know some tenured engineers with very good background, we felt it was a prudent thing to have another set of eyes take a look at this.
We have been looking for folks that could do this. We did reach out to Larry O'Connor. Mr. O'Connor is with us tonight because he has an extensive engineering background and a great understanding of the technologies. I know Dale also reached out to another gentleman in town who's also going to submit a proposal. He supposedly has good expertise in the area as well. Therese, I saw an email from you. Was that related to this too? I just saw it at the last minute before I came here.
Yep.
So you had some suggestions to maybe places we could get.
Yep, I sent them on to Dale and to Jeff, and I believe I copied you guys on it too.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
So if you have any questions about them, let me know.
Okay, good. So Mr. O'Connor did submit his resume and some reference material and some information about his experience. Larry, you are here tonight.
Just being responsive to Bill. I'm not looking to make a job particularly.
I understand.
I'll go to meetings, not going to go anything to that stuff, you know. But if I'm really called to do overviews with building plan reviews, I mean, obviously, if you decide to retain me, obviously, I'm an engineer. I'm not no longer a member of the public as far as that project is concerned. You know, just anything that I say would be based upon, factual codes and things like that. I guess I really wondering, you know, since you have a consultant, do you have a town designated engineer as well?
Yes, that's prime.
No, I mean, generally, besides, we have prime just for this project, or they?
They don't know there's somewhere to store their stuff,
you thought that there was, basically, when I was talking to Dylan back and forth and this stuff, for the past 10 and a half years, I've been working with the International Accreditation Service, and I've been working with the Building Code in New York City. I've accredited over 470 special inspection agencies, inspection bodies, testing labs, things like that, to pull the standards. So one of the things that I teach, and it's not on my resume, I teach about special inspections in New York City. I've taught the seminar over 20 times in New York City. So one of the things that I've never been one that believed in using the town as a blunt instrument, you know. If something passes muster, it doesn't. You know, you hold people to the letter of the law, maybe you need to change your law, but nevertheless, you know, it's not just, oh, we don't like this, or we're going to do whatever they can this happen. But what I was going to say is that it may be that things are coming to the town, or there are some things related to building department that you may need to do to strengthen that enforcement, you know, to put a little more teeth in it, because there are things that Dale is responsible for, and if he hasn't been backed up by the town board with some administrative procedures and maybe some fee schedules, things like that, by law has to enforce, for example, Chapter 17, which is special inspections for health and safety related inspections. So once you get into an occupancy, once it's a building, you know, you have to consider that occupancy for fire protection, for, you know, for sprinklers, whatever kind of safety. Mm-hmm. Now, when you told me it was 53 feet, I was picturing something 53 feet this way. So these are just basically trailers.
Essentially, yeah, so like a storage unit. Storage units.
So, you know, I thought that maybe that I could offer some overview, see where the town's rules maybe would affect this thing, where you could actually have a more sound opinion for why you do what you do. And make sure that they're doing things right. And I think that a lot of people, I just sent another thing that just happened to be in the New York Times yesterday, where this town north of Miami was totally bowled over. This development was coming their way, and a small town like Waynesburg back in the day, and these big developers come in and bully the heck out of them, and they end up with a collapsed building.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just think having been involved with the town, it would be, you know, good to look at what you're doing in Chapter 17. So, anyway, I don't know. I'm here because Bill asked me to be here. So, like I said, I'm really busy. I think go in the water if it can be useful.
Okay.
But it would be, I'm a civil structural engineer, but I've worked for Niagara-Mohawk, different occasions, including working on the nuclear power project. I've done power transmission and distribution. I've done, so I had 4 years of electricity electronics from Mount Pleasant High School, when it was probably one of the leading technical high schools. And one of the leading high schools in New York State at the time. Mm-hmm. Now, forget about it. So even though I'm civil, I have a very strong electrical background.
Yes.
So anyway, but my focus over the past 10 years has been building code and special inspection.
Like John said, I have an extra set of eyes in with you. Just look over some things for us when we're going to be asked to consult them. Mm-hmm. We even bring a couple people to look at stuff.
Yeah, I guess one question one particular thing that you might think about is what administrative support you have for Gail and his responsibilities to require special inspections.
Sure.
Are they required?
We definitely take that into consideration.
Sure. That's my 2 cents. I'm happy to serve if you want me. I'm still a town resident and happy to help out and send my volunteer name.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yep. Second part of the solar conversation,
Before we move that one, I just wanted to let the board know that we heard this week from NYSERDA that they're sending representatives to the workshop. So I emailed the name around. His first name is Ian. I can't remember the second name, but he and I believe one of his colleagues are going to be there so they can also answer questions, and they understand that the battery energy storage system is the thing that they want, that people have the most questions about. And then the names that I sent to Dale were just additional electrical engineers with experience in battery energy storage. And then there was a name from an institute which is manned by a New York City firefighter who has retired and who now is dealing with firefighting safety associated with these types of installations. Mm. So I've given them to Jeff and Dale so they can have the conversations with you guys.
Good, that's great, thank you.
Right,
Sorry.
More information about it. Second part is, and this is a conversation probably a little overdue. We like to talk quickly to Teresa before the meeting started. The town board would like to go about doing a moratorium on solar, future solar and battery storage units. Teresa, you explained it to me. We have to
introduce the local law, which you can do next time, and then schedule the public hearing for the second meeting in September.
Okay, so that's, so we have, any action tonight?
No,
the action will be at the next meeting. Okay, anybody want any discussion on that?
Well, my feeling was that this is good, bad, or otherwise, this has been a good experience for the going through this whole process with that, what's going on in that solar field. And I think waiting to see this project to the end, to see how it turns out, I think we're all going to learn more. And I think based on the experience that we have, we may want to go back and maybe make changes to the solar again. Maybe we need a battery storage law, either that controls it or bans it or whatever. I mean, but who knows? But I think it makes sense to put the brakes on anything new in town until we get through this project, because it's obviously controversial and we're all still learning a lot. That's kind of my two cents on it.
And I agree with John. You need to learn before you allow more, basically how you're putting it. We need to learn from start to finish before we allow a second one to come through, especially again in battery storage units. This is new to us.
Well, one thing, this is just my opinion, one thing I think it would be a good thing to look at is whether you can require battery energy storage to be at the site of the utility's substation.
Yep.
Rather than in a field in the middle of nowhere.
Sure.
Because, you know, National Grid, I'm sure Larry can tell us, does know what they're doing when it comes to electricity. So, and I would be interested in knowing whether or not that would be something that we could do.
Yes. Yep.
Even currently. For this project.
Going forward.
Yeah. I don't know that we can bring anything to bear on the current project or not. So. But certainly for anything in the future. I mean, if it was easy as that, that would be great, but I mean, the agreement is put in, so I'm not, you know, it's been approved, that project, so it remains to be seen whether or not anything can be done about that. If the changes that they've requested, if they don't get approved, I'm not sure where the project goes, so I don't know.
That would be up to the applicant whether they would build the original project or not.
Yeah.
I will say a lot of the changes that they made to the project in the meeting, they attributed that to like the panels are a new design,
yes,
they're more efficient. So they explained a lot of the equipment changes in terms of technology.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's in the planning board's jurisdiction now anyway. So they have to go through this workshop. They're going to have this workshop at September 9th. So if any of you want to attend that, it's from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., I believe, on September 9th. It's not a hearing. It's not, they're not accepting input from the public, but it's a public, you know, it's a public meeting. So they're going to be doing a workshop where they go through all these changes and recommendations that, that Prime identified. That's where Teresa mentioned that NYSERDA will also be there too. So, you know, where that whole thing ends, we don't know, but
I think
that's the next step.
I think there's going to be several workshops. The amount of stuff that Prime identified, I was shocked. All the stuff just outside the battery storage, the things that Prime brought up. So that's gonna be a.
It was an extensive.
So I was the girl, I was like begging the girl to take a drink of water. She was talking so long.
Yeah.
Sorry for it. Any other discussion on the solar? You learned anything else with solar?
No.
Any other discussions we need to have? I got nothing else before we go to the business meeting. Oh, I'm sorry. Before I say something. There was some inquiry, you might become one of the residents, might even speak about it. The cleanup on Barnard Hill Road and Quaker Street, the house that burnt down, we went through a lot of work to get it done. It's being held up by the state or the air sample guy is waiting for a special permit from one of the state agencies.
They're waiting for a variance from the Department of Labor. It's a commonly requested one associated with the specimen.
Yeah, so they're just waiting on that. So as soon as that gets done, we can get in there and get that cleaned up. I know it's been over a year, so. I got another one. What do you guys think about?
We had Nick from CT Mail was here this morning to meet Bill and I and Dale. You know, we've been talking about a small expansion on the back of the building here. And so he brought some, these are not final documents by any stretch, but he brought what he had now as far as what their vision is for adding some space on the back of this building. And he's got the written proposal here that kind of backs up the actual plan documents. Again, this isn't complete. This mostly covers just from a broad sense, you know, how the layout would work. And then a lot of the mechanical stuff, like the heating and air conditioning, things like that, are in the written document. So just to go through the layout, if we go like to the fourth diagram. Legend on mine. Actually, if you go to the one that's labeled A-101, that's probably the best one. On the bottom right, this number's on it, and this is A-101. And this one shows, it's not too different from the plans that we've kind of talked about, where the judge's offices get pushed out on the back, to my right here, so that we've got a lot more storage space, which we desperately need. And then on the left side is the vestibule, bathroom, and then in the middle of the back is a separate vestibule, which would be the secondary exits for the judges, should they need it for any reason, for lack of a better word, if they need it for safety purposes to exit the building, that's a second exit off the back of the building to do that. And there would be an overhang. And the front, the very first page shows that overhang. So it will be pitched a little bit, not a lot, because there's a window upstairs, but it will be pitched a little bit at least. You guys can look this over, and if you have any questions, either now or in the future, you can let us know. Our next steps would be, just want to try to get some more information about how the ARPA funds are able to get applied.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I could reach out to the Association of Towns, and maybe they know of other towns that maybe are already in the process of using these funds. I guess the thing is, we know that there's certain things we can use them for, particularly for ventilation. But there may be some things in here that aren't covered. So I don't know if they allowed you to use some of that money on a larger project and the rest of it we have to fund ourselves.
I'm sure they may try to piecemeal it.
Yeah.
For some, but I don't know.
So anyway, I'm trying to dig a little bit more into on specifics on using that money. I mean, the money's physically in our account, so it's there, but we have to be careful on how we use it. Also, we wanted to set up a meeting with Pat Wren, mm-hmm. To talk about what the skate court system might be able to do. Pat has mentioned that we might be able to get some funding for this project, especially since a lot of it is to be applied toward safety purposes for the judges. And it was that the state court had recommended for us. So those are two things that we want to do before we go any further, really. So I told Nick this is kind of in Bill's court, my court now, to get those, to do that research, and then we would get back to him. He needs some of that feedback in order to better finalize these plans that he's put together. Bill, I don't know if you want to talk about any of the building part of this, the structural, or...
A couple more your
background than it is mine. So.
As we look at the funding, and the funding, as we understand, will be available for air quality improvements. And the existing boiler that's here is adequate for at least another decade. So the hydronic hot water heat and the baseboard heaters would stay in place. But also to be added would be a split system, which would provide supplemental heat at times of the year when not a high demand is required for heat, such as spring and fall. And it would also provide a ventilation and air exchange system and would provide air conditioning so that the window units currently in place could be eliminated. And by doing that, you're going to see an energy savings, you're going to see an improvement in air quality. And from what we understand, the ARPA funds, they're looking at addressing future concerns with other viruses, COVID, et cetera. This would improve the air quality. The new section of the roof in the back, initially they had thought for this addition, you'd be looking at a flat roof. Flat roof, ultimately, at some point, is prone to leak. They are able, because of the elevations, to put about a 1-on-12 pitch roof, which would be a standing seam. Based upon the age of the existing building, the roof, not the age of the building, the age of the roof that's on it, a little over 20 years, the prudent thing to do would be to replace that roof with a standing seam roof at the same time the addition was built. And with a metal roof like that, you'd have the ice rakes at the bottom, so you wouldn't have any hazard with ice coming off. Parking would be in place at the rear so that for handicap access purposes, no one would have to negotiate stairs. They'd be able to park in the rear if they came into the level we're at, which is designated on these drawings as basement level. There would also be a bathroom on the lower level in the vestibule area, so for public meetings that would be easily accessible. I feel like I'm forgetting something on this.
It also includes some work on that ramp out front on the main level, because it's not really handicap accessible. I mean, the door really doesn't open the right way. It doesn't open to the ramp, it opens kind of so that it blocks the ramp. So this doesn't include changes to the front of the building to make it officially handicapped accessible rather than the attempts to do that was done originally here.
Yeah, and that is what I had forgotten. Yeah. So it would be done in compliance with ADA, which is American with Disabilities Act, it would be done in compliance with the latest codes. There'd be a concrete ramp, suitable overhang, so that there'd be adequate room to swing a wheelchair and get it through that door.
Yeah.
So that would be the only thing that would be visible from the front of the building. The rest, of course, would be at
the rear as we discussed with the add-on.
Any questions, anyone? Any thoughts, suggestions?
No, I kind of like it. It's not doing a huge addition.
It looks nice.
Yeah, it looks nice when they drew up. I just think at the end of the day, the one room marked storage is probably going to be more of a multi-use your office space.
Well, yeah.
Kind of
yes.
What we talked about earlier.
So, yes.
I think that's what that would probably turn out to be.
That may happen. Yeah.
Which is fine. It's an already open building, so open room, so something would be changed.
Right.
Just so they just use it for storage or maybe part storage.
Exactly.
Are you adding any cooling specifically for the electronics and computers?
Yeah, the recommendation is originally we thought we'd end up moving it down here. But their recommendation is to leave the computer equipment where it is. And they would include the proper ventilation for that closet up there.
But more to the point, do you think you need to actually cool it or just kind of
start with ventilation?
It's going to have to be cool. It's going to have to be vented. Yeah.
I think you should cool it.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. You're right. Yes, we got to make sure there's a vent in there for cool. Okay. Yeah. No, it's a good point.
Okay. Any other discussions we need to have before we go to the business meeting?
I have two questions.
Yes,
ma'am. That's okay. One is the Duane Lake people contacted me and said, "Are we going to do a septic inspect walk?" And so my only question was, is the board ready to do that or not?
I was trying. I seen the email. I was trying to think of where we left off on it. I know there was comments about the dirt foundation, if I remember right, was when houses get sold.
Yes.
For the town to require or
an
the town
inspection.
To require an inspection.
Yeah.
I know most loans require, but if you pay cash, you don't have to do it. So for the town to require, I have no problem with that for the town to require during when only it's sold some houses go 30 years without being sold. You know what I'm saying? So somebody's septic could fail the year after they buy it and they want to know.
Now if there's a failing septic, there's already a provision for a law where that is an enforcement matter.
Okay,
that you have a local law on sewer. This would be more of an inspection at a particular point to just slowly get through all that, the houses. And to Ricky's point, it could be, within 100 feet of a lake, okay, if you wanted to put that in.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be within 100 foot of a lake or a stream.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to expand it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just need some feedback from you guys. I can put together a draft one and you can look at it. I mean, however it's easiest.
Yeah, put together a draft one of those.
Okay.
Both of them. Appreciate it.
And one other local law issue that's come up is that our dog law and our zoning law conflict on when you need a kennel.
Okay.
We can definitely fix that if you're.
Was it by the number of dogs that you have?
Yes, it's by the number of dogs.
And what's the conflict? One says what? One says like four, and one says five, or something like that?
Yeah, pretty much. That's right. I'm not going to try to describe it because I always invariably get it wrong.
The dog law is five, and the zoning law is
six. I think that's right. Yeah, because it's more.
So
we'll
make
than
them
five.
Two.
No.
Any more than three, you need to be registered. And then the law is you need to register.
Please don't do that.
Here we go. Oh, it's $400.
Please don't do that. Do you want it five or six? That's the question.
Five.
I think five is.
Five is way enough.
Okay.
Seems like it's
five is plenty.
All right, that's easy. That there's an easy one.
Yeah.
So we have six dogs to be here next week. I think the septic inspector makes a gigantic can of worms.
I think it could be,
but huge.
it's up to you guys whether you want to do it or not.
I don't know whether just let her write up something and let's go from there. Talk about it. Well, I feel what you're saying, though. Any other discussions? And what are the business meetings?
A motion to approve payment to Delaware Engineering in the amount of $23,210.55, whereas the town of Duanesburg town board has established Duanesburg sewer districts numbers 1 and 3, whereas the Delanson wastewater treatment plant, in parentheses, the Delanson wastewater treatment plant serves Duanesburg sewer districts numbers 1 and 3, whereas the town board retained Delaware Engineering, DPC, parentheses Delaware, for professional services in connection with long-term improvement projects, project at the Delanson wastewater treatment plant, the project. And whereas Delaware has submitted an invoice dated August 17th, 2021 for the town board review in the amount of $23,210.55 for professional services provided during July and August 2021, parentheses professional services invoice number 17. And now therefore be it resolved, the town board approves professional services number, invoice number 17, and authorizes the town supervisor to submit the documentation to New York State Environmental Facilities Corporation to obtain the funds to pay the invoice, and upon receipt of such funds authorizes payment to Delaware in the amount of $23,210.55.
Second motion.
Any discussion?
Get bills.
Get bills. Jen, call the roll, please.
Councilmember
Potter. Aye.
Councilmember Hanford.
Aye.
Councilmember Sutherland.
Aye.
Councilmember Wenzel.
Aye.
Aye. Motion to approve payment to MCJ in the amount of $291,481.85. Whereas the town of Duanesburg Town Board has established Duanesburg sewer districts numbers 1 and 3. Whereas the Delanson Wastewater Treatment Plant, paren, the Delanson WWTP, serves Duanesburg Sewer Districts numbers 1 and 3. Whereas the town board retained MCJ Construction for contractor services in connection with long-term improvements project at the Delanson WWTP, paren, project. And whereas MCJ Construction has submitted an invoice dated August 19th, 2021, for town board review in the amount of $291,481.85 for services provided for the period ending August 17, 2021, per end contractor invoice number 4. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the town board approves contractor invoice number 4 and authorizes the town supervisor to submit the documentation to New York State Environmental Facilities Corporation to obtain the funds to pay the invoice, and upon receipt of such funds, authorizes payment to MCJ Construction in the amount of $291,481.85.
Second. Any discussion?
Pay the bills.
Can we call the roll, please?
Councilmember Wenzel.
Aye.
Councilmember Seneca.
Aye.
Councilmember Potts.
Aye.
Councilmember Hanford.
Aye.
Councilmember.
Aye. Motion to approve the town board supporting the county's plan for council and initial appearance coverage for arraignments in local courts. Whereas Schenectady County is submitting a plan for council at initial appearance coverage for arraignments in local courts, and whereas the plan provides for central arraignment part conducted twice a day at the Schenectady County Jail rather than at a town or village location of arrest, and whereas this plan requires the cooperation of various local town and village justices, and whereas this plan should assure consistency and representation as well as in the after hours schedules of the various towns and village court justices, and whereas this program will promote efficiencies among the town and village justices, as well as county operation, providing for mutual cooperation with counties, municipalities. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the town of Duanesburg hereby indicates
and support for the county's plan for council and initial appearance coverage for maintenance and reports.
Second. Discussion on this. This is I did talk to Judge Redland a little bit about this. It's to basically streamline the parents' says for initial arraignments. They want to do a little more instead of bringing them. They bring them to the. They arrest the guy. They bring him to the jail. Then they bring him back up to Waynesburg for arraignment. This way, they can do them right at the jail. I think there's maybe a rotation for all the town judges to be on board to do the arraignments and have a rotation that way. So say just, our local judges at 1 o'clock in the morning in order to come to court, maybe they can do it right online or another judge will handle it for them. So I think it's a great idea that the county is doing for us. So that actually helps us probably more than any other town. So.
Yeah, they started this during, when COVID started, they started this process and it's worked out so well that they want to the judges want to continue throughout the family.
Any other discussion on it? Judge, call the roll, please.
Councilmember Senecal.
Aye.
Councilmember Potter.
Aye.
Councilmember Cantor.
Aye.
Councilmember Wenzel.
Aye.
Councilmember Ashton.
Aye. Any other business meeting stuff?
No, but just to backtrack a little bit, do we want to try to set a date for budget workshops? And we're going to get going on the budget soon, so.
I would say have a meeting with VSC first.
Yeah, right.
Maybe
can't do it without those notices, right?
And at the next board meeting.
Yeah.
The next board meeting is at a budget workshop. Then we'll have a good start. We'll have the numbers in place.
Okay.
Where we're at.
Sounds good.
All right. Other than that, so we'll go to the food to the floor. Larry, you got any? I'm going to go to my people on Zoom. They're the only person in our audience, so pick on me.
Actually, it's been interesting to sit here. I have been trying to look some things up. I have been texting friends. I'm sure you could say, oh, well, I'm really looking up the Bible here.
Yeah.
Yeah. My citizen hat. I'm interested in what's happening with the sewage treatment plant, how that's working out. But anyway, they didn't hear that. Who should I talk to if anybody is going to be using me or what?
We'll reach out to you. We probably won't say don't.
Okay.
So let's go keep going forward. And as the thing goes by, if we feel we need to have another set of eyes, a lot of people. It's always good to have that one extra set of eyes.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, everybody has a little different experience and different expertise, and you might catch something that all the other experts might catch, or a concern. Concerns.
No, I have interest in seeing.
Plus, a lot of people that do this stuff too. So.
I have interest in seeing that kind of bring up to be able to deal with these types of things.
Absolutely. And then maybe we could go that sideways and help us relook at our code enforcement.
I'm not looking for it.
No, but at least some recommendations, one night.
It's good to know there's a. Someone in town to help us, should we do that?
That's something we definitely maybe we sit down and have another conversation one night just about code enforcement.
Yeah,
we appreciate the offer. Okay. Anybody on Zoom? Landon, Susan's on, Ms. Biggs?
Yes, we are. August 26, 2021. Dear Supervisor Tidball and the Town Board, please read my comments concerning the public health hearing of draft solar facilities law, local law 1 of 2021. Please include this letter in the official record of tonight's planning board meeting minutes as posted on the town website. Susan Biggs, 13388 Duanesburg Road, Delanson, New York, 12053. Thank you for addressing the issues regarding the Darby Hill cleanup, but just for the record, please see the attached 4 images in color taken in August 2021 to document the current conditions of 117 Darby Hill Road. The home burned down 18 months ago. The owners abandoned the parcel and left the cleanup costs to be paid by our tax dollars. The debris is blocking the sidewalk and the weeds are more than 3 feet tall. It is likely that the hazardous and toxic property conditions have diminished the surrounding neighbors' property values. The site is an eyesore to all, a hazard to health, and to the neighbors, and a drain on the taxpayers. What is the timeline for the cleanup of 117 Dirty Hill? What has the town paid in legal fees, lead testing, asbestos testing, and for the projected demolition? When will the parcel go to auction, and what revenue do you anticipate from the sale? This property should serve as a cautionary tale to the town and taxpayers as to why Oak Hill Solar must be carefully, thoughtfully, and comprehensively reviewed. Our town is not affluent or rich. We cannot afford to clean up one orphaned burned down building. If Oak Hill Afford Solar combined $422,000 decommissioning fund is not available or insufficient, can our town afford to pay for an abandoned 65-acre solar array plus four 53-foot containers of lithium iron batteries? How is the decommissioning fund supplied? Will the money be there if the town needs it? If there is a catastrophic battery explosion harming first responders, passersby, or neighbors, can the town absorb any possible legal asks? I am sorry, but it seems that you have been bamboozled by Eden Renewables, and I'm sorry that the hired town engineer did not fully report the errors, omissions, and misrepresentations found throughout the application in 2019. Now is the time for action. The planning board's vote on the Oak Hill amendment to add lithium batteries will set a precedent. Please consider the hazards and the accompanying lithium batteries. Explosions, fires, and toxic fumes may require evacuation of residents for miles surrounding a project site. Do you want lithium batteries in your backyard? How will battery storage impact future development of abutting parcels? I do not believe this is what the citizens of Duanesburg want. I urge all citizens to submit comments and concerns to the town clerk, jhow@duanesburg.net, for distribution to the town and planning boards. I request that the town board deny the Oak Hill Solar Amendment and save our community from future tax liabilities. I request that the planning and zoning boards meetings, including September 9, 2021 planning board workshop, are broadcast on Zoom, and that the application documents be posted on the town website. The more eyes on the project, the better the project will be for the entire community. Thank you for your service to our town. Respectfully, Susan Bibbs.
Thank you, Susan. Anybody else?
Good evening, Lynn Bruning, 13388 Duanesburg Road. Please include this letter in the official record of tonight's planning board meeting minutes as posted on the town website. I request that all planning and zoning board meetings and workshops are held in person and on Zoom. I request that the Oak Hill Solar application and amendment application be posted on the town website or in a Dropbox. This will close loopholes on potential sources of impropriety and provide the taxpayers with transparency and accountability into the town's actions. At the August 15th, 2021 Planning Board public hearing for the amendment to Oak Hill Solar special use permit, the applicant read the distance to Mr. Murray's home, from Mr. Murray's home to the nearest battery storage container. I asked how far the Biggs home was from the nearest battery storage container. Neither AMP, Eden, or Green Cells provided an answer to my question. In fact, AMP's representative asked me, where is Biggs' home? And Green Cells stated that it's not on the drawings. Eden Renewables omitted the nearest residence to Oak Hill Solar beginning May 2018 or before. March 2019, Eden's engineer incorrectly documented that the nearest residence was 1,600 feet away. 3 years later, this misleading information continues to deprive Mrs. Biggs, whose residence is less than 650 feet from the array fence, of the consideration that she deserves. What are the dangers of being 500 feet, 1,000 feet, 1,500 feet, or 2,000 feet from a lithium-ion battery storage container? If there is an explosion and/or fire, what would the evacuation perimeter need to be to protect the residents from toxic gases and fumes? And how would residents be notified of a possible evacuation? How quickly can that happen? Mrs. Biggs' safety from toxic lithium-ion batteries, the protection of her lands from increased toxic stormwater runoff, and the protection of her property value from this industrial project is not considered by Eden, AMP, or Green Cells. The town is unable to protect the taxpayers if the applicant hasn't or won't submit accurate factual documents in a manner that can be thoughtfully reviewed and examined. 3 years into the application process, and Oak Hill Solar still does not identify the nearest residents. What else is the applicant omitting? Please see the attached rendering first provided by Eden to the Planning Board in 2018. The pink text provides the corrections to the original documents, misrepresentations, and omissions of Mrs. Biggs' residence. Due to Oak Hill's persistent and pervasive errors, omissions, and misrepresentations, I request that AMP's solar request to extend Oak Hill solar special use permit be denied. And if that's not denied, I ask that the town and the planning board please deny the battery storage. Thank you for your time and consideration. Good evening.
Thank you. Anybody else on there, Ted? All right, other comments?
Just one thing, Roger, regarding Darby Hill. Just so everybody knows, the funds expended will go on the tax bill. The county will reimburse the town and then seek through foreclosure or other means to collect the funds. It's not something the town has to do. The county will do that.
Yep.
So just in case people, I'm sure you're aware.
Well, I know. And we will have had cleaned up 17 months ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, unfortunately, because of COVID and everything else, it was delayed, but it was certainly not, there's nothing we can do about it. We moved as expeditiously as we could. It's been on the holdups, unfortunately. But you understand the frustration, for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I'll make the motion for adjournment. Sorry. Any discussion? Jen, call the roll, please.
Supervisor
Chippo? Aye.
Aye.
Folks, thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Big actions here at Lincoln Town Ware.
Recording stopped.
It's a big dress.